Well, everybody's favorite honky-tonk man knockoff, the Disco Inferno, Glenn Gilberti, was on the Insight with Chris Van Vliet podcast this week, and they had a rather good conversation, in my opinion. Gilberti is one of the harder people to listen to in professional wrestling. He's got that go-away heat. He's not the most well-liked or respected guy in wrestling. And they talked a little bit about that, why he thinks that is, that sort of thing. And I would say one of the bigger issues that people tend to have with Gilberti is he's just so critical of the product. He's always got something negative to say about something. And most people don't really see Gilberti as somebody that even has a lot of credibility to begin with to be talking. But when Chris Van Vliet asked him why he is so critical of a lot of the current product these days, he raised a lot of good points. Check out this clip.
And the thing is, like, a lot of these people don't even really know what work is. You know, when I grew up, and like anybody from my era that trained to be a professional wrestler, you were taught how to do it to make it look as real as possible while protecting yourself and protecting your opponent. Okay. One company tries to do that. Okay. The other company, if I told you that you're watching some of the things they do in their shows, like these guys are going to get hurt. I'm scared watching some of this. You know, it's uncomfortable watching, for me, watching one of how his career went. It's uncomfortable for me watching Bryan Danielson out there wrestle now, because I know the guy's had like a lot of concussions. I know he's had like, you know, issues and seizures and everything. And I'm watching him and he's still beating himself up out there. And I'm going like, well, why is he doing this?
But you know, why can't he just do it? And if he wants to do it, then he can do it.
That's my point. That's fine.
Yeah.
But I get bothered watching that.
Well, that sounds more like a problem.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. It makes like they make some of the stuff that these guys do as a professional wrestler, as somebody that was very safe in my career, that didn't do a lot of risk, that did a lot of showmanship. When I watch what these guys try to do to get a pop and the risk that they take to their bodies, I'm like, I scratch my head. I'm like, you know, what is going on in your head right now that like you're going to like risk a neck injury? You know, or risk like a busted hip or a thing, like everybody's doing these spots on the apron now. And the apron's very hard. That's where the plywood in the corner. So you can crack a rib, you know, and I'm watching them just go, you don't have to do that, but why do you do that? These guys got to be getting their bell rungs out there. You know, their bell, you know, they got to be like getting these mild concussions and probably not reporting them, because I'm watching the head trauma. Like I said, it's just me getting through my career relatively injury-free. I hurt my back one time, but like this, you know, just a few months ago I was out. But getting through it relatively injury-free and knowing that I navigated my career to get through it injury-free, and I still got reactions out there without doing the level of risk that these guys have to take to get the reactions. I'm like, why would you not embrace like the way that I did it? You'll feel a lot better, you know?
The problem is that the bar just keeps moving, right? So what was really entertaining in the 90s got replaced a few years later, and then that got replaced, and like you just keep having to outdo yourself.
So now, guys, like, since everybody's just diving through the second, third rope, now we got to dive on the top rope, and we got to flip off the top rope, and now we have to dive in the top rope, jump on the top rope to turn yourself backwards and do a moonsault off the top. It's like all these different variations. I'm just going like, at some point, you're watching it too.
Yeah,
somebody's going to get really hurt one time, and I don't want it to be. And this is, you know how, like, people don't think about this, right? With the way social media is, and, like, the mobs will just come after you, right? If somebody gets seriously hurt and, like, breaks their neck on a professional wrestling show, it's like, you don't tell me that there's going to be people coming out of the woodwork going, like wanting to try to ban professional wrestling or, like, you know, like, throw a wet blanket on professional wrestling stuff, because that's just the way stuff things are these days. And I'm seeing guys do this and, like, I think wrestling, if you continue to that, doing that very high risk stuff, you're looking down the road at maybe, you know, like these people coming after the professional wrestling business.
Disco fever. Yeah, 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 yeah. I was a fan of Glenn Gilberti as a kid, Disco Inferno. He didn't have the go-away heat with me as a kid that a lot of people seem to have. I thought he was all right. He was entertaining. I got a kick out of the character. It was clearly, you know, the reincarnation of the honky-tonk man just coming out and doing the obnoxious dancing and stuff like that. But it worked for me. It got me the kind of heat that I was looking for. He has a lot of good points. from time to time, hidden in between all of his bullshit, all of his bad takes, all of his cringeworthy takes. But I do think a lot of that is for shtick as well, or at least played up to a certain extent. Even in this interview with Chris Van Vliet, Chris was like, "What are you saying that it's all an act?" And you know, you gotta, to, I mean, look, I do a podcast here, and look, I don't walk around in my daily life yelling and shouting about shit like I do here. So you play it up a little bit for the camera. You play it up for the microphone. You're being a personality to an extent. So I get all that. But he raised some good points here. There's a lot of things in today's current product that just, it wasn't done in the past and it doesn't need to be done now. There's no need for people to be risking life and limb in every match, on every move, for every spot. It's just not necessary. You get some of these high-flying guys, and look, I get that there's an evolution to wrestling, and I get that, you know, you have to step up the high-flying, you know, you can't just do the same thing that they did back in the 80s and 90s and expect it to get the same reaction today. But I don't know that we need all of that. I think wrestling, at the end of the day, the most memorable people are the characters, not the moves. Moves are cool. Moves are fun to watch. They're fancy. But I don't think you need the high-flying trapeze act to win me over as a wrestling fan. And I don't think when you look back at all the greatest moments in wrestling history, all of your favorite, you know, those Hall of Fame caliber moments that are burnt and etched into history, none of them are the 450 triple dipple splash off the top through two tables. It's just not. I think I can think of maybe the triple threat ladder match, the TLC, with you know, Edge spearing somebody. Was it, is it Devon? Did he spear Devon? He speared somebody off the fucking hanging. Yeah, it was Devon off the hooks and stuff. Or Jeff Hardy doing the swan. I mean, there's plenty of highlights from that match. Certainly Mick Foley's bump off the cell. But in general, when you look at the highlight reels of professional wrestling, it's not the moves. It's not the moves. But it's the moves that hurt people. It's the moves that injure and cripple people. And look, there was a guy like Glenn Gilberti back in the day, Disco Inferno, when he came out doing his thing. He got a reaction, and he is remembered to this day, and to this day he still gets a reaction. If you had an indie show in your local hometown, or even for fuck the indie show, if on AEW or WWE, you had, you know, even if it was just a squash match and you had Disco Inferno coming out, he would get incredible heat by the time he got to the ring. And he'd do like two moves and he would dance and people would boo him for that. He's over. He's over whether you want to think he is or not. He gets a reaction. He's over for being hated. That's the thing. You hate him, but you know, they always say, you know, no reaction is the bad thing. Disco Inferno never got no reaction. He got boos, lots of boos. You know, some could say it's the go-away heat, the X-Pac heat, but I think he presented his character as a character that you want to see get punched in the face. And even to this day, as a personality on his podcast, you want to punch him in the fucking face for all the idiot things that he says. But, I mean, he's got a point here. I think wrestlers go too far. They do too much. They put too much emphasis on getting a reaction for what you did in the match. Like, for all the shit that Sammy Guevara has done, he just injured Jeff Hardy, right? Just did that whole thing with Jeff Hardy. All of his crazy, you know, he's done the thing off the cage and all his 450s and his all that shit, it's not what I remember him for. It's not getting himself over. The bump that what's-his-face from Top Flight took through the tables in Ring of Honor, and he clacked his ankle and was out for a year. I don't remember that. I mean, I remember it because he got hurt, but it was just a spot in a match. It doesn't connect me to him as a character. It doesn't make me want to run out and buy his t-shirt because he could do a flippy-dippy through a table off the top. Flippy Dippies threw a table off the top have been done a million times. Get yourself over as a character, as a personality. That's all you got to do. That's how wrestling works. Look, when I was a heel, I was a commissioner for a while in an indie fed, and then I did a heel turn where I was a bad commissioner or whatever, and the crowd hated me based on just opening my mouth, just saying words. I could rile the crowd up and get them in the palm of my hand. And yes, I took bumps and got beat up a lot and that kind of thing, but that's not what got me the heat from the crowd. It's nice to be able to do those kind of moves, and it's nice to be able to bust them out, and especially in high-profile matches. It's a pay-per-view. It's WrestleMania. It's a title match. It's something big where you want to go that extra mile, and in that moment, it will get remembered. Let's talk about those matches. That TLC match we were just talking about happened at WrestleMania, okay? We talk about Foley taking the bump off the cage. Okay, that was a Hell in a Cell. It was just a pay-per-view. But for the most part, the big moments like that take place on the big stage. And that's what you save them for. If you're just doing a flippy-dippy 450 fucking off the top through a table on Dynamite and you clack your ankle, or even worse, on Ring of Honor or something, what was the point of all of that? You're taking valuable years and money off of your career. And it's not just the year that you spent on the shelf. Your ankle's going to be fucked when you get older. That's the kind of shit that comes back to haunt you with age. Start to ache. You start to be in pain. You start to not be able to move around as much, because all those old injuries catch up with you. And they weren't needed. You didn't need to do that. So I think Disco Inferno is right here. I think he's smarter than people give him credit for. And I think a lot of the stuff he gets heat for is just shtick. He's playing it up. He knows how to be that personality. Even on his pod with Keeping It 100, he plays the heel character, so to speak. You know, he gets the heel heat amongst his own fucking hosts and shit. You know, Conan's got to tell him to shut up and shit from time to time because he's so obnoxious. But that's the character. And though I'm pretty sure Glenn Gilberti is a pretty obnoxious person in real life. This was actually he came across pretty chill and pretty smart and a good conversation in this full interview with Chris Van Vliet. I do recommend checking it out. Link is in the description below. Lots of other little fun tidbits in there, like how he completely ripped off the Honky Tonk Man's gimmick for his own gimmick and just kind of updated it. But it was smart. It worked for him, and it still works for him to this day, as he still gets heat to this day. Disco Inferno, what do you guys think? What do you think? Do you think he was right about that, or do you believe that the flippy dippy stuff is the way to get over in 2024? I still think it's character work. I think the characters are the most memorable. And quite frankly, it's the character work that you can carry with you long after the in-ring stuff is done, right? You can't do flippy-dippy shits when you are a legend, by the time you get to the legend age. There's a shelf life on that. But you can come out and drink beer and throw a stunner. You can come out and be a vampire and drink blood. You can come out and, you know, raise an eyebrow and all that shit without having to go the extra yard in the ring.
Oh yeah, thanks for checking out the video here. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to like it if you liked it. Yeah. And you can check out full episodes each and every Sunday right here on the channel. Oh yeah, dig it.
I hate Juggalos. I fucking hate them. I say all this with a grain of salt because for a good part of my own life, I proudly identified as a Juggalo.
You should come to the gathering with me.
Nah, man. I'm not into all that whoop whoop shit anymore.
I'll pay for your ticket.
I got fired today.
Get the fuck out!
Still got room for me?
Spike, slow the fuck down! Cops!
Fuck your sleep! Fuck your sleep! Fuck your sleep!
The savages started closing in with their tiki torches and war paint.
Shit. Run! You guys got a dead body here already? Even the aliens were throwing shade. It was pure panic and intense horror. There was a guy I saw got chopped in half. I had nothing left to go back to. You alive?
Yep. The Gathering. A bold journey into the belly of the Juggalo underworld.